I can afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm April Richardson.
And joining us, as always, in the producer's chair is Kyle Dotson.
Hi.
Kyle, how are you doing?
I'm good.
We just recorded with Mike Siegel. He just left. Guy didn't shower from last night. I'm not showered either. Mike and I went to see a concert last night. You showered.
I'm also not showered.
Oh, you're not showered either?
Not showered.
Oh,
I put on makeup. It's a trick that ladies use.
Really?
To make you think I'm showered.
Deodorant and some makeup.
And some lipstick, and that's all it takes.
Dare I say you look thinner today than before?
I thank you, because I don't feel it.
And you're thin anyway.
So
what I'm saying is...
I'm actually not. I've gained some weight.
Because
I'm dating somebody, and it's in the beginning of, like, we eat out every second. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought you were just going to say, you're dating someone, you just stop caring.
It's like, I got him now, so I don't know. It's just, you know, when it's like, let's go out to dinner every single night, always. So it's that.
Okay, how long have you been dating this gentleman?
For a month.
Mm-hmm. It's an official, it's you dating him dating you. And
yes, he's my boyfriend.
He's your boyfriend.
Yes.
All right. And how old of a gentleman is it? None of my business. None of these questions.
He's 45. He's 10 years older than me.
Perfect.
It's perfect.
Well, that's good. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. And he's super cool. And he's into all the same stuff I'm into.
That's
and
great.
He used to be a music manager. He knows his shit.
That's
big
great.
Big time. Yeah.
Then what's he do right now?
Right now, he's a writer. He's a comedy writer.
Who's he write for?
He doesn't write for a particular show at the moment. He's waiting to find out if he's going to be a showrunner on something.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. He doesn't fuck around, this guy.
Well, let's hope nepotism...
He does his work.
Nepotism gets you a job.
What? He's Les Moonves' son. Did I not mention that? No.
Do I say congratulations? Good for you. I'm glad you nice people finding nice people. That's good. How'd you meet?
He's awesome.
How'd you meet?
Oh, sadly, internet style, which he doesn't mind that
everyone,
part of the
you know
story.
What? Everyone that I ask this question to lately tells me the same thing.
Well, yeah, because it's just like, well, on Twitter, too. His name is Aaron Blitzstein. He's hilarious, and he's like a big shit Twitter dude.
Is that a real last name, Blitzstein?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's that big shit Twitter dude.
Yeah, just in the way that, like, I think I started following because everyone I knew retweeted him because he's super funny. And so I was like, okay, but then along with jokes, he would tweet about stuff like the Smiths and everything. So I'm like, who is this dude who just gets it on all levels? And so we were just like, yeah, we should just hang out sometime and listen to records or something, just like friend style for real.
Yeah.
Not thinking anything of it. But then when I went to his house, I was like, what? You're like my dream, dude. What's going on? Because he just had all this cool stuff around. And so we listened to records all night and then ended up just hanging out every single day.
And then how does it turn into a date?
We started making out.
There you go. Done deal. Done deal.
That's
enough
pretty much
said.
How it happened.
Enough said.
But yeah, he's rad.
He looked in your eyes and said, meat is murder.
Yes. And I was like, let's get married. No, I just went. I mean, like I said, I just went to his apartment and it was all, he just had the coolest stories and the coolest stuff hanging on his walls and just like is so on point. Like had this giant above his desk. There's a giant poster from an Iggy Pop show where the Human League opened. And I was just like, dude, you're nailing it on all levels. So start nailing this. What?
Oh, conveniently located to your apartment.
Yes, actually, crazily enough, he lives really close to me. Everything about this worked out.
You know what? It's so funny. I have the lineup here. It's the rotation is exactly the same. It goes, Murray, Mike, Christy, April, Murray, Mike, Christy, April. And then if there's a guest or something, you know, I fit it in there, but everyone's the same. But it always seems like it's been millions of years since I've seen you.
Even though it's been like a couple months.
It's been since Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even though the rotation is the same,
right,
it feels like a long time. So I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
I was recently in London and Dublin.
I saw all your awesome pictures.
I brought back gifts for my children, and I got you something.
What?
Got it right here.
You're joking.
I saw this in a gift shop, and I didn't even realize that this name was... Well, here, I just...
Let me see.
Look at that thing.
Oh my God. It's like the coat of arms for Morrissey.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yes. This is amazing.
Folks, it's not the actual coat of arms. It's a coaster.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, I would frame, I'm going to frame this. No joke. Like, I'm going to hang this on my wall.
Like, I didn't know that more. I didn't even realize Morrissey was an Irish name.
That's sure. That's his last name.
I know. I didn't even know. I didn't know it was Irish. I thought he was from England. I didn't know he was Irish.
Well, he was born in England, but his ancestry is Irish. Like his parents. So, yeah, were from Ireland.
That's the correct spelling.
Yes. This is amazing. And you know what else I like about it? For everyone listening who can't see this at all, the coat of arms looks like the t-shirt Charlie Brown wears.
Well, a couple of sad sacks.
Yeah. It's fitting. No joke, I'm going to hang this on my wall. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm not going to use it as a coaster. It needs to be on display.
I would love a picture.
Oh, my God, thank you.
I would love a picture of you holding a football.
Mm-hmm.
And then Morrissey coming to kick it.
And
you pull it out from under him.
Please believe I wish I could get that to happen, too. I will definitely try to get that
would
to happen.
Would he just be like, no?
It depends. I think it depends on what day you catch him.
He would say, good grief.
Because he's totally, I've seen him, some people like get him to put them in headlocks and stuff for pictures. He'll goof around if you catch him on the right day.
What about Johnny Marr in the background laying on top of a red
doghouse? I'll get you guys out on the 12th and never. That's the day that's happening.
Johnny Marr has a new CD coming out.
Yes, he does. I'm psyched.
That's a pretty quick turnaround between albums.
Dude, that guy has nothing. He's got melodies flowing through his veins. That guy's got nothing but hits.
That is a crazy response.
That's all he does is write jams.
The last time you were here, you were going to hit see 15 Morrissey shows.
And I did until it got canceled.
Yeah. Why? What happened?
Because he got sick.
He got sick. What's wrong with him?
He's a vegetarian that doesn't eat vegetables. He only eats pasta, cheese, and bread.
Okay, so he just needs to step up that diet.
Yeah, he just has zero immune system.
Just carbon it up.
That's what I'm saying. And that's also for a singer, it's you're just eating phlegm. That's all those things are.
He needs to get a nutritionist.
He does.
And a personal trainer.
And eat some broccoli.
And a personal chef.
Personal trainer.
Well, I mean, he's...
I mean, if he doesn't like to prepare food or even
He seems like a little bit... He seems lean but still chunky for some reason. You know what I mean?
I think it's because he's just carbo loading.
Yeah.
But I did, and the last show I saw of all the ones I saw was in Beaumont, Texas, and I did get on stage and hug him, and it was a great end to it for me. So it was pretty great.
Was that the one that was on? That was on YouTube.
Yes, and then somebody made this girl, my friend Deborah, made a GIF of it, an animated GIF of me doing it. I was like, this is the best thing ever.
I isolated it and made I did a screen cap.
Yeah.
I made a screen cap.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a good way to end it.
And what was my other question going to be for you? Christine Young, did you go to her taping of the Late Show?
Yeah, I wasn't able to make the actual taping, but I got there as it was finishing because I was at work and we had dinner and everything, and it went great. I mean, she's awesome, and I went to see her. She played the next night at Spaceland or at the Satellite.
Yeah.
It used to be Spaceland, but
did any Foo Fighters jump up with her at that show?
No, they weren't there. But Rodney on the Rock, Rodney Bingenheimer, introduced her.
Nice,
and that was awesome, and she was amazing. And Tony was there too. Tony Visconti was there. He came out to see her and to go to the TV taping and stuff, and it was awesome.
Well, since you said Tony Visconti's name, I'm going to say what the topic is today. The topic is called the producer's chair, and so what we're doing today is we're picking a producer we like, and we're going to play songs produced by that guy. Now, as I was doing this, I thought I was going to be able to say oh, I like this guy because he does this or he does that, and I couldn't really pinpoint a simple thing.
Yeah,
so
it's basically just
hey, these are albums I love, and this guy happened to produce these albums.
Totally.
So here we go. So you picked
Tony Visconti. But I'm with you too. Same thing. As I was making this, I was there's not really a
through line. He's just a good producer.
Yeah, he makes good jams.
He made these bands sound cool or good or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you jump in right now and go first.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go with there are several Bowie songs, obviously.
Right.
Because he worked with them so long.
Yeah, how many?
He stopped in the middle of, that's why I had it pulled up on my phone, because it's he produced his first 10 albums and then didn't produce for five and then came back for more.
And then he's done the last few.
Yes. Yeah. So I'd have to look through his Wikipedia, which is insane, but he did do, I guess I'm going to have to play Space Oddity first, because he produced this, and obviously this is a seminal work.
Right.
And super important and awesome. And so I guess I'll kick it off with that.
Okay. Let's hear it. I've never heard this song. I'm kidding.
It's songs. 7, 6, commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, check ignition, 1. And may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare.
I like how he sings capsule.
Yeah, I was trying to see where he stopped. I think it might have been Scary Monsters and then came back for, I'll find it. But anyway, Tony's book is awesome. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called Bolin, Bowie, and the Brooklyn Boy. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And the thing, and it's fascinating.
And who's the Brooklyn Boy? Is that?
That's him.
That's him. He was born in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. He's from New York, but then, you know, moved to England to work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. The thing that's so cool about Tony, and even now, still, he's just so open to new things. He's very like, yeah, I'll give anything a try kind of guy. And it comes through in his book. He's very much not cynical. He's not like set in his ways. If anybody comes to it, if like a cool band comes to him and he likes them, he's like, yeah, I'll work with you. Like it's not. And it's just fascinating too, reading how he got to work with Mark Bolan and David Bowie, because he was kind of like the one guy who stood up for them. Like, especially David Bowie had recorded his first album and put it out. And the company, the record label was like, hey, this dude is super weird. They basically just dropped him off at Tony's studio. Like, we don't know what to do with this weirdo. Like, if you want to work with him, work with him. Otherwise, we're going to drop him. And he's like, I'll give this guy a chance. David Bowie. And then, like, of course, you know, became what it was. So I don't know. It's just really interesting. His book is really great.
Yeah. I mean, Visconti and Bowie, that's like Scorsese and De Niro.
Totally.
I mean, it's just like that kind of a relationship.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
I'm sure it's easy to work when they work together. I'm sure it's very easy. It's probably like second nature.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I know what he does. I wonder, I always want to know exactly what a producer does. I mean, does he actually twiddle the knobs? I wonder.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play it later.
I'm going to bring the bass up.
Yeah. It's kind of when I watched him in the studio with Christine making her album that Dave Grohl played on. Yeah, it was kind of like that. Or it would be, I mean, obviously she wrote the song. So she came in like, here's my song, play my song.
Right.
And then, yeah, he would kind of be like, well, what if the bass was louder at this part? And what if da-da-da? Like, I don't know if that's indicative of like every album he's ever worked on. But it was a sort of like, I think it might sound better if this was this, or this, we drop this, and things like that.
And then hopefully the artist is flexible enough to say, sure, I'll try that.
Right, right. Which is why I assume they would hire him. Like, I assume, you know, I've read books about other bands I like where they did, you know, just they heard a record and they were like, whoever made that, we want them to make our album.
Right.
And so, you know, and I'm sure with his pedigree, I'm sure there are people like, oh, yeah, it's the guy who made David Bowie who he is. Let's get him on our record. Right. Duh. So, yeah.
Cool. Now, I told you before that we started recording who my producer
was. Yeah, who's
was,
your
and,
dude?
And you said, oh, I don't know if I know who that is. So my gentleman is Roy Thomas Baker.
Uh-huh.
And let's just play, since you did, you played an iconic thing from Visconti. This is probably the most iconic production from this guy. So let's jump it into this song. I'm not even going to say what the song is or the band. Let's go 2 minutes and 50 seconds in, Kyle.
Little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the bandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo,
magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let me go!
We will not let you go.
Let me go!
Never let you go.
Never let me go.
No, 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 no.
Oh, my
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go.
All right.
So we played a lot of that, and it's
That seems like a hard ass producing job.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of
There's so much going on.
So now some of the other stuff he produced doesn't have that much going on, but I just wanted to give you, you know, the biggest possible.
Listening to that, I wonder if part of his job, and this might be the dumbest thing I ever said, but I wonder if he is the one that decides like what goes in the left speaker and what goes in the right speaker.
Yeah, because we're listening to it with the headphones on.
Yeah.
It's totally different feel of that song.
Yeah.
Like, really, really cool. But and a lot of background vocals on some of the songs I'll play today. So, but he's worked with, you know, every artist I play today, you're going to be like, yeah, we know who they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so
well, same here, pretty much.
Cool. We're going to hear Christine today?
Oh, definitely. Right. I'm definitely going to play that. Now I'll go to a song called Hope Fell Down. This Tony produced this. This was Difford and Tilbrook from Squeeze.
Sure.
Squeeze like temporarily broke up and they put out an album under the name Difford and Tilbrook. And this was a song on it, which weirdly, if you get like later Squeeze greatest hits things, this song's on it.
They put it on there.
But it was technically from that one, I don't know if that's called a solo album, a duo album. I don't know. But Tony produced it, and this is just a cool song.
Side project.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah.
Sounds great.
It's a great that album. I mean, it's just Squeeze. It's the two dudes from Squeeze. I mean, it's Squeeze.
Why didn't they? Why didn't Squeeze ever use him to produce an album then?
I don't know.
Because that's a really, really great sound.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to. They could have. I'd have to look back through. Like I said, when I was going, I mean, I already obviously I knew the Bowie stuff and T-Rex and
whatever.
But when I was going through the Wikipedia just to go, what else? It was like, what? This guy's produced like 500 albums. So
yeah, I've looked at his output on Wikipedia before too, and he has it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Ridiculous.
So if I look through, then yeah, maybe he did. I don't think he did, but yeah, that album
didn't.
Is.
I just looked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hasn't. That's
yeah,
weird,
I don't know why.
Man, that sounds great.
Yeah, and that song. I mean, that album has jams on it too. Those two dudes are like undeniable. They're two dudes where I'm like, why aren't y'all up there with like Lennon McCartney?
There's a lot of people you just don't know why they didn't just make
yeah.
that little.
Squeeze has some total jams.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like they're really underrated.
Music fans know who those guys are.
Yeah.
But maybe.
But as songwriters, like both of those dudes are on point together. Yeah.
So now Roy Thomas Baker, the Queen thing, that was 1975. And then he produced like four or five Queen albums.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 1980, he hooks up with Alice Cooper.
Ooh.
And he makes an album that is very, it's Alice's new wave album to me. It's called Flush the Fashion. And this song is called Grim Facts. And let's take it from the top. Grim Facts. Okay.
I can't believe that's Alice Cooper, and you have to send me that song.
I will send. I will send it. I'll give you the whole.
It's so good. I never would have guessed that.
The album's only 29 minutes long, 10 songs. And Roy Thomas Baker likes to do this crossfade thing where the song, one song just fades and the other one just comes right back on. So if you like, if you're jumping through, you'll get like that little like boop, boop, you know.
Right.
But if you just listen to it, it's like a seamless, it's a great album.
I never would have given Alice Cooper the time of day. I think because I just think of like school's out for something. You're like, whatever, I get it. But this like that was rad.
Yeah, this is totally different from anything else. And he never really did something this concise like this again.
Right.
But yeah, flush the fashion.
How many albums does Alice Cooper have out?
26.
Shut your mouth!
Yeah, 26 albums.
I totally thought he was just like this one-hit wondery, gimmicky kind of dude.
From 1969 was his first album, and the most recent album came out in 2011.
Oh, okay.
So he's always like, he's, you know, he has an album 2011, 2008, 2006.
Right.
I'm actually doing an Alice Cooper not with him, but a show on Alice Cooper Music in a couple weeks.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, I definitely want that album. That was rad.
Cool.
No problem. Okay, cool. My next one is also a kind of an obvious one because, I mean, David Bowie wrote this, but it's Sister Midnight off of Iggy Pop's album The Idiot, which that album is amazing and awesome. And yeah, this is like when Iggy Pop and David Bowie and like Lou Reed are all hanging out together all the time writing songs.
And the cover of The Idiot is a photo taken by David Bowie.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know if it was him because another thing, I didn't know if it was him or Tony, to be honest, because Tony also did tons of cool photography.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually took the photos of covers of other David Bowie records.
I picked that album up recently when I was looking through the liner notes. It was like cover photo David
Bowie. Oh, yeah.
Bowie, so.
Well, that makes sense because, they were hanging out like every second.
Yeah.
They were like, let's hang out and do drugs constantly, guys.
Maybe touch each other.
Maybe not. We'll never tell the truth. But yeah, so this is, Sister Midnight and also obviously produced by Tony.
Calling Sister Midnight, you got me reaching for the moon. Calling Sister Midnight, you got me playing.
Yeah.
Now the only thing I have to say to you is this album was produced by David Bowie.
No, it wasn't, because he recorded it, like it wasn't finally, like the final mixes and everything were done by Tony.
But like the credits is produced by David Bowie.
That was not true, according to Tony's book.
The album credits is David Bowie.
Okay. I respectfully disagree with you.
I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Okay.
And I remember the album.
All right.
I'm not going to fight with you.
Okay.
I'm just going to say.
All right.
Maybe Tony did.
He was there for this whole thing.
I know, because it was right around the Berlin Trilogy.
I'm on the Tony Visconti Wikipedia, and it says, albums produced 1977, The Idiot, Iggy Pop.
So weird.
Look, just because you just busted into the Wikipedia page for The Idiot and updated it right now yourself, it doesn't mean that it's true.
Well, the production's good. I don't care who did it.
I mean, I think that there is tag teaming going on anyway for all of that stuff.
Wait a minute.
In several ways.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about production.
Okay.
Maybe also other stuff.
All right.
But yeah, because around that time, even in the book, like he was talking about how, because David Bowie would just call him from somewhere and go, all right, hey, I'm in the middle of making such and such album, like come finish it. And even with Brian Eno, like when he started hanging out with Eno, like they called both of them and they were like, yeah, we've already made a couple songs, like come finish it, work on it with us.
Okay.
So I don't doubt that that's something that happened for one.
And maybe Tony just said, whatever, I don't care who gets credit. I'm rich.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. In 1978... Journey releases their first album with Steve Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, they had done three other albums, Journey, Into the Future, and Next. And they were basically just a jam band from California, from San Francisco, because they were, an offshoot of Santana. So, but the record label said, you need a singer. You need a lead singer.
Okay.
So Roy Thomas Baker gets to produce the first album with Steve Perry. Also the second one, too. But this is from Infinity. And I just, this song is called Feeling That Way. It starts with Greg Rolie, who's the keyboard player. He's singing. And then Steve Perry comes in.
Okay.
And I just saw, where did I read this? That they used to play this, they used to open with this song before Steve, before anyone knew Steve Perry was in the band. They would open with this song and they would literally play a jam for like 20 minutes and then start this song. And then Perry would walk out and take his part and the place would be like, who's that guy and what the hell is going on? And you'll hear, even when he comes in on the studio track, you'll hear, see what I mean.
Open my eyes to a new kind of way. All the good times that you saved. Are you feeling? You feeling that way too? Or am I just? Am I just a fool?
When the summer's gone, she'll be there, standing by the light. What she's been to wear.
Steve,
that was crazy.
Perry. I know it's just like it's like, oh, that guy has a nice voice, and then it's like boom,
and then it's like rawr.
Boom, take it up a notch. Yeah. Boom, Jack Black it.
Yeah,
that's what I call it when you take it up a notch. You Jack Black it.
Jack Blacking it. Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't know. So he, so Steve Perry wasn't the singer of Journey until
Yeah, that guy sang and Neil Sean sang, but they were basically just like a jam band. And
right.
They were popular opening for other bands, but the record label said, we need to sell records.
Right, so get a singer
in there. So get a singer.
Yeah.
And they actually had another guy, Robert Fleischman, and then their manager said, no, Steve Perry's your singer. Like
right.
they were forced. They were like, this is your singer.
Was he, why? Because Steve Perry, was he like a studio dude?
They just had his tape. He was in a a band called the Alien Project or something, and they had his demo.
God.
They had his demo at Columbia Records, and they loved his voice, and they just said, "He's Journey. This is your singer, or there's no more Journey." And they went, "Okay, he'll be our singer."
Wow.
Luckily, I guess he could write songs too. So,
okay. Oh, sorry.
I have some news on the idiot.
Okay. Oh, okay. Some news.
Are you talking about
breaking
me?
News?
Just,
new,
just in 2014 news and the idiot.
It's okay. So basically, yeah, there were like overdubs and different recordings of a bunch of different people, but the final mix was done by Tony Visconti.
Okay,
and he, in his own words, he said it was more of a salvage job than creative mixing.
Okay,
yeah, because there were definitely times, like I said, even in the book, he talks about how like. Well, you know, these dudes were on tons of drugs and they would like do things and then be like, hey, produce this jam we just did super coked up or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
it's amazing that they even got anything
on
tape, let alone amazing stuff.
There's one, he talks about in the book, the one band that he had to yell at was Thin Lizzy. They were the one band where he was like, dudes, if you don't get your shit together and stop constantly doing drugs, like, I'm going to walk off this album. And that Phil Lynott was kind of like, okay, we will. Like, I'll get him. I'll wrangle everybody.
Promise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said that was the, they were the one band he almost walked out on.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, they partied harder than everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and they paid the price.
Yeah. You should, I'm telling you, the book is so good.
What's the book called?
Bowie Bolin and the Brooklyn Boy. I think that's the order of the bees.
All right.
Okay, next I'm going to play a kind of a newer song.
Good.
This is called Happiness is Egg-Shaped. Now, this is from an album. I actually knew about this like when I met Tony the first time and I was freaking out already. But I was like, oh my God, you also produced the Seahorses record. Because when I lived in Manchester, this came out when I lived there. And it's the remnants. After the Stone Roses broke up, this is John Squire's next band. He was the guitarist in the Stone Roses. And so, and the Seahorses album, the story was John Squire started a band and the singer from this was a busker on the street.
Yeah.
He was a dude. He walked by on the street and was like, you have a cool voice. Want to sing in my new band? And so that was the Seahorses.
Done.
And so he produced this record and it's a cool record, the whole thing.
Just wherever.
Yeah. Just wherever.
I'll tell you true. I've got a letter to say. my back, 'cause you're no fun, girl. The whole world's shining black, 'cause you're no fun, girl.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a good record.
What year is that?
97. And it's, yeah, John Squire, I mean, there's tons of, like, guitar solos and stuff in it, because that dude's, like, a real shredder.
Yeah, that's great.
But it's a great album. I think you'd really like it, yeah.
I think I would, too. The thing about Tony Visconti is when you look at his discography, yes, there's these big artists, but then there's, like, all these, like, artists that you may not have ever heard
totally.
Of, or just small artists, and that shows a guy that loves music.
Oh, 100%. Like, 100%. That's my favorite thing about him. Like I said, he's not a cynic. Yeah. He's not, like... Yeah, that, like, my friend Christine, that's how he just saw her play a show in New York and was like, she's amazing. I'll totally work with her. I think it's just, if he likes it, he's like, yeah, I'll help you. I'll totally produce your stuff.
And in a way, I mean, Roy Thomas Baker, when you look at his, it's all gigantic bands, but it's like, oh, but he was there, like, on ground zero of the giganticness.
Right. Of the giganticness.
In a word.
I love it.
I didn't even know he produced an album by this band, but this is a song from Oh No, It's Devo.
I didn't know he produced Devo either.
I know. He produced this one album, and let's hear a little bit of That's Good. Such a great song.
That is a great song. And Devo is a great band.
They don't get enough respect for some reason. It seems like maybe the outfits and the plastic wigs and the flower pot hats makes them
seem gimmicky, but their songs were legit awesome songs.
Yeah, I don't know why some bands get away with gimmicky stuff and they're like put up on a pedestal, and then sometimes a band like Devo, it just seems they seem like people, I think they're a joke.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they definitely got the rep as that. Yeah. And also just based on Whippet, like,
yeah,
people just think, oh, it's the Whippet band. Yeah. And don't know any of their other awesome songs.
Working in a coal mine but they seem like super intelligent dudes.
Well, they are. Yeah. But I also think that's a thing too. They get dismissed as like nerds, which I guess they technically are, but yeah, they had rad songs.
I mean, nerdism is embraced.
Well,
now it is.
But then I think it was just like, this is music for nerds.
Well, nerds unite and go back and find Devo.
Yeah, Devo are the best.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to spread out the Bowie. So I'll play, and it's hard to choose, but I'll play my favorite song off of the Young Americans record, which is Fascination. But yeah, this is Young Americans, and this is another funny thing in the book. Like he called Tony from Philly and was like, hey, I'm in Philadelphia, fly here tomorrow to produce this record. And Tony's like, what? And he's like, yeah, you know, I live here now because I'm obsessed with like Philadelphia soul and want this record to sound like that. And so, yeah, this, you know, Young Americans is like his soul record.
That's not one of my favorite Bowie albums.
That's funny. And it's totally one of mine. But it's funny that you say that because I think it universally is like, what? This is weird. Like most people... It may be one of his least popular records or least liked, but it's like one of my favorites.
But it's got, what are the big songs in there? The big songs that are
Young Americans.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Fascination, Fame.
Fame.
I'd have to look it up.
And then some of the deeper tracks I don't appreciate as much.
I don't know. I love it. And also Young Americans, I think, I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure it's the first song, like Luther Vandross sings back
up
on this album.
Right.
It's like one of his first jobs
in music
to sing on it. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
So anywhere.
Let's do it.
There's so into it. I'm so into saxophones. It's not even funny.
Yeah, he also does a cover of Across the Universe by the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that album opens with Young Americans, closes with Fame.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good bookending.
Yes.
Way to bookend it.
Yep.
Mr. Bowie.
I think that guy knew what he was doing.
Yeah. So still not one of my favorite, but I do like a few songs on there.
Yeah, I posted something about it on Twitter a few months ago, and so a bunch of people were like, yeah, it's not my favorite Bowie record. Like, I think that's a kind of widely held opinion, yeah. But whatever.
Is it because of the soul influence?
I guess people go, yeah, it was like such a departure. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, but every one of that dude's albums sound totally different. So you can't go, this isn't like Bowie. Like, yeah. They're all different.
They're all different. It's true.
He's like one of those guys who's like obsessed with something for like a week.
And yeah.
Then, like, he's like, I'm going to learn all the magic tricks ever in a week and then be done with magic forever.
And what's so great though is he is, but then like, so he's like, okay, I'm going to master this genre and this crazy thing and do it. And then like a year later, people are ripping him off from that thing where he's like, oh, I'm done with that. I'm already on this. Like, y'all are way far behind.
He doesn't half-ass it either. He doesn't say, I'm going to do a soul album and then it's like not... It's
right.
It's kind of soul.
Because no, it's
that's
like
totally soul. Maybe soul-ish. That's it. I'm not a that.
You're not a soul dude.
Soul, not that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Some.
Yeah.
But not that much. I got no soul.
I get it.
this is from a band. This is not a band that I like. I like.
Okay.
I don't. I like because I don't like the guy's voice. The guy's voice sounds like a joke to me.
Okay. What band is this?
But the music rocks, but the guy's voice I don't care for. But this is the second album by The Darkness.
Oh, okay.
And this was produced by Roy Thomas Baker. This is the album One Way Ticket to Hell and Back, and the song is One Way Ticket.
It was a dusty night, and I'm the first to admit it. I'm sure I upset someone, but my memory has chosen to admit it. Absolute rubbish. That's why it hit me like a kick in the face. I'm gonna better have another one just in case. Next thing I knew, my heart was under attack. I'm gonna one-way ticket to hell. And one-way ticket to hell.
It's so funny that you say that because my ex used to always sing The Darkness at karaoke. That was like his go-to thing called Love or whatever. He could do the falsetto.
Oh,
like that's
hysterical.
Why he did it, because he's like, I'm going to show off that I can do this falsetto.
I'm either going to do a Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons song
or The Darkness. That's funny that you don't know like his voice, because I feel like it's not super far removed from like a Steve Perry.
I think it's the tricks that he does. They make me laugh instead of go like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
I should give it another shot. I'll give it another shot.
No, hey, don't. I'm not telling you have to like The Darkness.
This cover is terrible. It looks like it looks like a Meatloaf cover. Look at that.
Oh, but isn't that their thing? I think. Yeah. I think The Darkness, they're kind of in on the joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they are too.
Because I think that guy wears like, I've seen him live before at a festival or something, and he was wearing a jumpsuit with like a deep V neck and like hairy chest. Like, I think they're
in on
the joke.
I like how you qualify it. I've seen them live. Well, it was
at a festival. I didn't buy a Darkness ticket.
I got it free with the festival.
Yeah.
It feels like Roy Thomas Baker would have been a good producer for Meatloaf in the day, because he is.
Oh, completely.
Pretty, even though the Alice Cooper and the Devo and the Journey are different from the Queen and this, it's big bombastic sounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This exchange of, I'm going to totally look this dude up, because so far every song you played I've been totally into.
All right, cool.
So I'm like into this guy's techniques.
All right.
I'm going to, this is the total 180 from what we just listened to. This is a song called Dear God, Please Help Me. It's by Morrissey.
Okay.
Tony produced Ringleader of the Tormentors, Morrissey's album from like 2006.
Is that the only one he ever produced with Morrissey?
It's the only one he produced.
They get along?
They did. They got along at the time. Now, I'm not sure, but at the time, yes.
Okay.
And then also on this record, this song features, and I always mispronounce his name, Ennio Morricone? How do you say it? The guy who scored like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, like the legendary dude.
It's spelled like E-N-N-C-I-O.
E-N-N-I-O.
E-N-N-I-O. Morricone, I don't know how to pronounce it either.
I don't know how to pronounce it either, and I always feel like a total idiot, because obviously I know who he is, but he's the one conducting the strings on this and stuff. But like, so this is like the song. Just actually play it from, I'm trying to think of how long the intro is. Play it from like 10 seconds in or something, maybe. Or no, just play it from the beginning.
Play it from the beginning.
Forgive me if I cry. Get to the strings, but they don't kick in for a bit. So, but that, oh my god, that song.
The Italian pronunciation looks like Ennio.
Ennio Morricone.
It says his music has been used in more than 60 award-winning films.
Oh yeah.
He's 85.
Yeah. And that was the thing, is that Morrissey really bragged about that at the time, because when he agreed to do it, like, he said no to, like, Madonna and stuff, and
well,
U2.
Please.
But I'm just saying, of course, Morrissey's like, yeah, he didn't even do it with Bono, and he's going to work with me. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised he said no to U2, but that is, so that is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
I mean, if he says no to Madonna, all right.
All right, I get it.
He said no to The Darkness.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Exclusive.
It was at a festival, though.
Yeah, it was. It was. Calm down. But yeah, so at the time, I mean, Morrissey was like, yeah, and he's working with me. But, I mean, fair enough. I'd be like that, too, probably.
What was I going to say? I like that. It's nice.
It's a lovely song. It's really lovely.
If you were at home, would you be crying?
I'd be crying, probably. I mean, that's my favorite song on the record. Yeah, but I should have maybe kicked it in the chorus so you could hear the strings and stuff, but it's really good.
All right. Go buy that song and listen to the chorus, people.
Yes.
Okay, the next band I'm going to play is, I had the guitarist of this band on a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Christy Stratton's favorite band and her favorite guitarist ever, and she was here with me when we did this show.
Oh, nice.
It was Elliot Easton from the Cars.
Oh, nice.
And Roy Thomas Baker produced the first four Cars albums.
Did Christy freak out
At the end? She did. She teared up because she was telling him how much his music meant.
Oh my god.
And he reached over and grabbed her hand.
Oh, nice.
It was nice. He was super sweet guy. Super great guest. But yeah, the first four Cars albums are just phenomenal. And I had asked him, how did you guys get hooked up with Roy Thomas Baker? He said the record company just said, hey, yeah, Roy Thomas Baker will produce your first album. And we're like, right. Okay.
Cool.
So this is from the first Cars album. This is You're All I've Got Tonight.
I don't care if you hurt me some more. I don't care if you even the score.
Jam.
Yeah.
I mean, what's more to say about car songs?
The
it's Cars, just like they're all just jams.
I know. It's just an iconic sound. No one sounds like the Cars, really.
Yeah, that was also rad. This guy's pedigree, pretty impressive. I'm on board with everything thus far.
You're not going to be on board with everything, but
oh, okay.
I'm glad so far you are, but you're...
I'm planning to throw a few stinkers in there just for you.
Yeah, there's a couple clunktastics coming up.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. Okay, next, I guess I'll play Golden Brown. This is a Strangler song. Strangler's cool as shit. Tony produced this album, which is a La Folie. I don't know how to... That's French. I'm not good with French. I'm obviously clearly not good with Italian either. I couldn't pronounce that guy's name. But yeah, this is just a jam straight up.
Okay, Stranglers.
I
temptress. Through the ages she's heading west. From far away, stays for a day. Never a frown with golden brown.
Another song about how great heroin is in the long storied tradition.
But look, heroin is so great.
It's so good.
Love it.
It feels real good.
Roy Thomas Baker also produced a Stranglers album.
No kidding.
He produced the album called All 12 Inches.
Were you about to play Stranglers?
I didn't have it on my list, but from 1992, so I just threw it in there.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, cool crossover.
Just to get a little crossover action happening.
Awesome.
Okay, my favorite band of all time.
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
So in 1982, Roy Thomas Baker produced an album for Cheap Trick called One on One. And I was so excited when I picked up that album and I flipped it over and it said, Roy Thomas Baker. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
This is going to be awesome.
Yes.
And I don't think he did a very...
Oh, no.
I don't think he did a great job with them.
Really?
Some of it sounds muddy to me. It sounds like the mix isn't good. I don't know. It just didn't.
Do you think it's his fault? What year did that album come out?
1982.
So do you think it's his fault or do you think it maybe? Because you know all albums around that time are mastered so terribly.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, because I have a remastered edition.
Right.
Now,
okay.
But it has. This is a song that was a big hit. So let's. And this one's not muddy because it's a more of a power ballad-y thing. But
right.
Let's listen to If You Want My Love.
Okay.
Yes, I thought you were a mystery girl. A special girl that's crazy and wild. You couldn't see me when I laid eyes on you. Lonely is a lonely place. You don't know what it's like. You can't fight it. It's a
So you're not impressed with his work there?
You know, the rocking songs just, I don't know. Let me indulge one more time. This is the title track called One on One. Just I don't know. I mean, I knew he produced Queen. I knew he produced Foreigner and Journey. And so when I saw his name, I thought he was going to do. I just thought I don't know what I expected, but I was disappointed with what he. I love.
It seems to not be as crisp as those other ones.
Yeah, I really like the. I like the album, but it just.
Right.
I was kind of bummed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this was the same year that Devo song came out too. So. Maybe
right.
He put all his good stuff in the Devo album.
He was burnt out by the time he got a Cheap Trick.
Man,
he's like, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Those Devo dudes took it out of me.
It is what it is, guys.
Yeah. You get what you get.
Yeah. All right.
How many more do we have?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have about 5 more.
Oh, wow. Because I only maybe have like 2 or 3.
Well, then I'll only play 2 or 3. And maybe you won't have to hear yes.
You have like 5 more. You have 6 more.
I do? Oh, but some are double because I couldn't decide.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Like some are repeats from the same like Bowie album.
Okay.
Okay.
So
I'll follow your lead.
Okay. Well, next I'll play another seminal thing. Mambo Sun, my favorite song off Electric Warrior,
mm-hmm.
T-Rex album, same kind of story with he saw Mark Bolan play in like a pub with like, you know, not mm-hmm. many people there just being like, oh, this guy's got the goods kind of thing. And so he sort of like discovered him basically.
I don't think I've ever heard a T-Rex album from start to finish. Where do I start?
Electric Warrior.
This is going to be terrible for me because now the next time I see you, I'm going to go, I own all the T-Rex
albums. But just do it. Just buy them anyway.
And Tony produced more than one of their albums, correct?
Yeah, all of them.
He produced all of them.
All of them. And then when Mark Bolan started, he called himself Tyrannosaurus Rex and was like more folky. And I think, I'm pretty sure it was Tony Visconti's idea to be like, why don't you get like rockier? and then it got shortened to T-Rex, and then, yeah, he produced all of his stuff.
How sad that this guy's not around anymore, and neither is Phil Lynott. And, yeah. And they died a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. I mean, yeah, Mark Boland died before he was 30. I think he...
Yeah, that's insane.
He got in a car accident when he was, I want to say 27 or 28, but yeah.
Was that a, do you know, was that a drug or drinking car accident?
No, not at all. His wife was driving. Like, it was just a, somebody just slammed into their car.
Well, that's a true tragedy.
Yeah, completely.
Like that. All right. Yeah. Let's hear it. Let's hear some T-Rex.
Strange for you. Ooh, for you.
I mean,
kind of has a groovery dance beat,
totally.
Kind of.
I mean, he and Tony basically like invented glam rock.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Electric Warrior.
Let me add something to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Right.
I'm pretty sure Electric Warrior is considered like the first glam rock record.
I mean, like, yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, definitely.
If nothing to
I mean,
say
like,
to
totally. Yeah, so I think dumb. You'd like it. You should totally buy it.
That's where I should start then. I should start with
That's where
that
I would
one.
Say start with that one. And then if you like it, work either way. I would say work forward, but also the one before that, I think, is getting there.
Okay, cool.
But
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it. My bank account is not liking it, but I'm going to do it. Okay, This is from Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay.
And this was a joint production. This was Keith Olsen and Roy Thomas Baker worked on this album, recorded and engineered by Roy Thomas Baker, mixed by Keith Olsen, and then they both share production credit. And this is from No Rest for the Wicked.
Yeah.
And this is this is called Crazy Babies, and it's ridiculous from the beginning.
Like, he said, "Crazy babies never say die."
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I would love. They should have done like a video for this where Ozzy runs daycare and just babies running around,
totally
just being
all the babies have Ozzy's face.
Yeah, and they totally. Have like and blood
like the,
and come,
like the
bats coming out of their mouths and
they could
knives.
Do an anime. It would be like Muppet Babies, but.
Muppet
Ozzy babies.
Yeah, Ozzy babies. Like they're all super scary.
Fozzy babies.
Never Fozzy say die.
Fozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Fozzy Osbourne. That's amazing.
There's got to be a Photoshop.
There has
right?
to be.
Are you looking for Fozzy Osbourne Photoshop?
Yeah.
Fozzy Osbourne.
I hope he has a frog leg in his mouth. He ate a frog.
Here's one that someone did.
Let me see.
It looks.
Okay, shit.
Yeah, let me see. Let me see Fozzy Osbourne.
It's him.
Oh, that's amazing.
With Sharon. Okay.
No, but now I'm like mad you didn't think of that. I wish that had happened just now, right here.
Well, I did just think of it, but then I was like, I wonder if like
that's the worst.
That's
the
I parallel. Know. Now with the internet, yeah. I think that too. I'll tweet something like, this is amazing. And then like 15 people shoot me back like, yeah, whatever. Welcome to 10 years ago when somebody already thought of that.
Here's just an actual picture of Sharon, Fozzy, and Ozzy.
Sharon, Fozzy, and Ozzy.
It was bigger.
Oh, it's just them hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know. Well, Fozzy used to be a
the
big
Fozborns.
Fozzy used to love the Coke.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If you look, you can find a picture of him. He's snorting it off of Miss Piggy's ass.
Oh, yeah. Fozzy, man. Love doing rails crazy. Off
did
Miss
he,
Piggy's
did
ass.
He,
I love
did
it.
He open for Ozzy? Like, tell some jokes?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be
Fozzy.
Great?
Fozzy and Ozzy tour.
Statler and Waldorf.
Totally.
Huge Aussie fans.
Yeah.
They would get...
He was the one guy they wouldn't make fun of.
One guy they wouldn't make fun of. Yeah. They got it. They get it.
I wish I was that bat right now. Ho, ho, ho.
I love Statler and Waldorf.
They're the best.
Every time I sit in the balcony of anything, like I think of it, I'm like, oh, we got tickets in the Statler and Waldorf section.
I think that or the Lincoln seats.
Yes, me too. The Lincoln seats, totally.
Wouldn't it be great if they had a movie review show, those two guys? Like, remember Siskel and Ebert were always in the...
Yeah. They totally should.
Let's do it.
I would watch it. Let's make it.
I'm done.
Let's make it and get sued by Jim Henson Enterprises.
You're up. What do you got?
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and play Christine then. This is Rough Up the Groove. This is a song from her recent album called The Knife Shift that came out a couple months ago. And it was the one that I actually got to watch being made.
Right.
I got to watch Tony produce it, watch Dave Grohl play drums on it, watch Christine shred.
Like, how
piano.
Long are you in studio? How long do you sit in studio?
They were there for like 2 weeks, and I was there for probably a week of it. I would just go, well, the first week I was at work, so I'd go after work, and then the next week I would like go during the day.
And what's the duration of time that you sit in a nice, cushy leather couch? Like, you show
all
up
day. I'm here all day because it was fun. It was right, like cool. Super interesting, and they're fun to hang out with anyway.
And you're like, how do these people get to make money doing this?
I know. I was just like, I was so into it.
Yeah.
And they were cool to let me sit there, but... Yeah,
you're
it was
like,
really
oh,
interesting.
April's back.
I know they probably were, but I was like, deal with it, guys. I ain't leaving.
Well, you told her she could come every day. Why'd you say that?
I know.
Every
I was like,
day?
Why did you guys say that? And I was like, I bet you didn't think I was going to take you up on it, but
hey,
I am.
This is only going to take 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they did record it for like
3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's hear it. I can hear you texting in the background. That stop start, that's mm-hmm. that's ballsy.
I think it's rad.
But it's also ballsy to have that through the entire song.
Yes.
Because some people might be like, I don't know if I remember.
That's
or,
why.
Or they might be like, this MP3,
it's
wrong with this.
Jacked up.
But if there's one word to describe Christine, I would use ballsy. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, if Christina Aguilera records that song, I'm not kidding. I mean, it had like a Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy type
right.
feel to it.
That's the thing that Again, I know I've talked about her 100 times, but she just is one of those people where I'm like, why aren't you world famous? I don't mm-hmm. understand why people aren't freaking out.
And I don't know much about her. I only know the songs that you play here. Tony Visconti's produced almost all of her albums, correct?
Yeah. And it's even Aaron. I took my boyfriend to go and see. It feels weird even saying that. But I took him to see her and he was just like, I don't understand. How come everyone isn't freaking out? Why isn't she selling millions of records? Like, yeah. I don't get it.
Did they sell the album at the show?
Yeah.
Out at mm-hmm. the merch? Wonder mm-hmm. if people are picking. I think maybe that's a good place to sell albums now.
Oh, sure.
You see someone, you go, and it's right there immediately. It's not like, when I go home tonight, I'm going to download it. Because then you get home and you don't.
Right. No, that's what I did. The first time I saw her open for Morrissey, I bought her record immediately after the show.
So she's open for Morrissey. More than in the past, too.
Yeah, tons. Yeah, I saw her for the first time in like 2006, and then immediately after the show, I was like, "Oh, I'm totally buying this lady's record. She's amazing." And so, hopefully, more people will do the same.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
definitely. People should buy that album.
It's a great album.
Right after the show, I'm gonna listen to the song clips on YouTube.
On
iTunes.
Yeah. Also, some songs are on YouTube. You can listen to them that way.
I'm going
to
do it on iTunes.
All right.
I'm going to listen on my radio.
All right, you pick it.
See if they're going to play them. I like that. I like that song a lot. I think that was the thing I liked the most that you've ever played by her.
Oh, cool. Okay. So yeah, I get that she's kind of an acquired taste too. Like, she has a crazy voice and whatever.
It's,
she writes some hits.
It's eclectic.
Yes, totally.
I listen to all kinds of shit. So why won't I listen to some good shit?
Yeah.
This next shit is some, this next thing is some prog rock bullshit.
Oh, all right.
But the reason I'm playing this is because it just came out as we're recording it. This just came out Tuesday. This is a brand new album by Yes.
Whoa.
Produced by Roy Thomas Baker.
All right.
They have a brand new singer because they parted ways with John Anderson, the original guy,
okay,
years ago. But this guy's also name is John, and I like it. I'm not in love with it. I like it.
Sure.
But it's not like I haven't listened to it enough to where I'm like, oh, I love this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
so it's still
to
fresh.
Really, really listen to a Yes album, you probably need to set aside like 3 hours of your day. I mean, isn't each song like 20 minutes long?
Well, these songs aren't, the two clips, I'm only going to play one, but yeah, this one's almost 7 minutes.
All right.
But this is a song called The Game from Heaven and Earth, and this is produced by Roy Thomas Baker. But the production's there, and
every Yes that sounds song, less wizardy than
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, every Yes song though sounds like it belongs at the end of the Neverending Story.
Oh my god, I've never heard anything truer.
Oh.
Totally, totally. I mean, that did sound less wizardy. Like,
you might have your tweet for the day.
Yes,
man.
You need to. It totally to does.
That. But yeah, it just happened to, you know, I bought that album, came in the mail, and I saw that Roy Thomas produced it. I'm like, well, I got to throw one of these in, but, not as much noodling,
right.
You know, cause sometimes it's like,
yeah. Yes. Yes. Guess what?
And then 20
Guess
minutes
what?
Later, chorus.
I was about to say, based on that alone, Yes is going to hire you as their next producer. They're going to be like, this guy gets our sound.
Guy knows exactly what we
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got? We got two more?
Oh, okay. Well, I might only have one more.
Okay.
I'll another Bowie. I'll play this. This is my favorite song off of Lodger. It might be weird, a choice, but I like it. It's called Repetition. It's kind of grim because it's about domestic abuse, but I don't know. I like the song.
I like this. I like the Lodger album.
Yeah, it's
Did
a great
Did you ever
album.
See the behind-the-scenes pictures of them? They're the pictures of the people setting him up for the Lodger cover shoot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I think they actually put a plate glass window on his body, like to push his nose down.
Let me see. But where did you see, like if I just Google it, maybe I can see it?
I think they might be in this book I have, this new Bowie book
ooh,
I have.
Ooh.
But you'll find them.
All right.
Okay, so, and this song is, I'm sorry, this song is called again.
It's called Repetition.
Let's hear this, Repetition.
If the school had taught him right, and he could have married Anne with a blue silk blouse. He could have married Anne with a blue silk blouse. And the food is on the table, but the food is cold. Don't hit her. Can't you even cook? What's the good of me working when you can't damn cook? Well, Johnny is a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good tunes on that.
Some great tunes.
I remember seeing the videos for DJ, and is it Boys Keep Swinging, where
Boys
he's dressed like
swinging.
Three different women?
Yes, I almost played that one, but then I was like, that's like the single from it, everybody knows. But yeah, the video for that is amazing.
I remember seeing that video, you know, I was in ninth grade when that album came out, and it just made me feel like weird.
Well, did you know, I remember when I saw it first, and of course, like whenever mm-hmm. Way reruns and MTV, yeah. But I didn't know, a couple of the women look so... The women, him as yeah. a woman, looks yeah. so much like women that like I wasn't sure it yeah. was him.
And it always freaks me out when like an old woman smokes.
Yeah,
and he's like smoking, and the cigarette's like almost dangling, like it's gonna.
Just any old woman. woman smoking
any old woman smoking
out.
when they're so old that they barely have enough strength to keep the cigarette within their, and that's kind of like the one character he's playing in there.
Yeah, one of them is like I love when women or men dress as women. Mm-hmm. I love gender bending. I love all that shit for real. And in that one though, one thing I did like is that he made it so they're not all glamour. One of the women looks like a secretary. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, they weren't like all tarted up
like
at all.
They weren't like glamorous. Like one of the women is like a total frump-a-dump secretary. Yeah. Like I love, and that might have been the one that was smoking. Yes,
just
I love
gross.
It.
So gross. Great.
Was he ever slated to be in Tootsie?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
If only.
He wasn't. It was, you know what? Him and Tilda Swinton are up for a lot of the same parts.
Oh, actually,
and Conan O'Brien.
Tony told me about that video. Like, you know the video she's in?
Yeah, it's cool.
That it did just come about because David Bowie, I almost just called him David like I know him. Dave.
Dave. DB.
DB.
Sweeney.
David Bowie just called her and was basically like, yeah, you know how everybody like jokes that you look like me? Like, will you be in my video? Like, let's make a thing about it. Which I think is amazing.
It is. Those videos for the next day, those are really cool videos.
Oh, they're awesome. They're totally awesome.
And there's, Gary Oldman's in one, and there's nudity in them.
But just the idea of him having a sense, I mean, I don't know, again, because to me, he's just like the superhuman dude. But like, so the idea of him having a sense of humor, like him going, isn't it funny that people say we look alike? Like, come be in my video.
But, when he's in Extras and he's singing that song.
Oh, that's true. That's, the I mean, little that's, fat man
yeah.
or whatever.
Oh, my
God,
that's so funny.
That's so great.
So awesome. I wish he would release that as
he's
an actual
the best
song.
Dude.
Okay. Back to Roy Thomas Baker real quick. This is I love Foreigner in the 70s, and he produced their third album, Head Games. It's my favorite Foreigner album. It's not the most popular Foreigner album, but the whole thing sounds just great. I love all the songs. So let's listen to a song called this album has Head Games, Dirty White Boy, but I'm going to play a deep album cut, which is Do What You Like.
All right. Say true love never runs smooth, but when it's gone, what can you do? You won't believe what you won't see. The only one you lose is me. So do what you like, you know that you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think he did a much better production job with Foreigner than he did with Cheap Trick.
Okay, I'm going to play a repeat.
It's a very girly laugh that you just did. I haven't heard a girly... You did a very girly laugh.
Thank you. I don't know. It's different from my usual truck driver guffaw.
It seems
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I get it.
I usually save my girly laugh for my new boyfriend.
Oh, no, whatever. He's like, if anything, he's like getting the dutiest part. Like, that was another thing where I'm like, are you sure you want to date me? And he's like, no, I'm into it. I'm into your manly laugh. I was like, this is going to work out. I'm going to play... I forgot to bring Manic Street Preachers because he produced a record of theirs and they're one of my favorites, but I forgot. So I'm going to play another song off of that Morrissey record. It's called Life is a Pigsty.
Okay.
It rules. If you will let me play maybe like a minute of it, because I feel like it has a long intro, but it's just a cool tune. I think
we
you'll like
play
as well.
A minute.
Okay. I think you might like this one.
All right.
Good song.
That is a good song.
Yeah.
It's different from that strings one.
Yeah.
That rocks a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the hardest rocking Morrissey song? Is there such a thing?
That's actually, if you listen, actually Ringleader might be a Morrissey record you would like because it is kind of rocky. You might like it. I don't know if that's a stretch. I don't think you'd like the whole thing, but there are some jams on it you might like.
I got to work my way into the Smiths catalog and then move in and see if I can listen to some
and again,
of this
but
Morrissey.
Again, I definitely will not blame you if you don't like it. Totally, totally.
I want to play, and then Kyle will let you list. April, you have the.
I can just play one more.
But you have Go Bayside.
Oh yeah.
And you're gonna be doing Go Bayside live at the LA.
Yes. At the LA Podcast Festival,
which is the last weekend in September.
Yes, and I think I'm on Sunday. I'm on the 29th.
What time is your show? Do you know?
It's in the afternoon. I think it's like 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Never Not Funny is at 4, so I'll get to see that because I'll be there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, well then
I'm sure
I was about to say
time.
Jimmy's my guest, so I hope that they scheduled it so that he can go host his own show.
I'm sure it's fine.
Okay.
And you are at APE on Twitter, APEY.
Yes, indeed.
And what else?
That's
what
it. Else? And I have that's a job at Chelsea Lately for another month or whenever, considering whenever this
you
airs.
You better be saving your money.
And then I'll be unemployed. So if anybody's listening to this and wants to hire me, get at me.
That's the way it is. I mean, the work life is good and the personal life was here. Now the personal life is like this. And so you'll be fine.
Yep.
You'll be fine. So you have one more song to play?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I'll just go ahead and close it out with Young Americans.
Okay. Oh, good.
From Young Americans, because it's just such a total jam.
Do you have a playout song for us today?
No, I told you that up front.
Oh, damn!
You son of a bitch! Don't you take me down on air?
Back talk.
We can play out with yours.
Okay, we'll play out with mine. This is Young Americans.
Yeah. Any song with a sax solo. Mwah.
She loves her horns. She said it before.
Love it. Let's get sexual.
Okay, that's our next episode. We're going to do Let's Get Horny.
Oh, my God, totally.
Okay, horns.
All sax solos.
You guys
horns.
Talk about this every episode.
I know. We're doing it next time.
I might play the song again then. So down, it frowns. Gee, my life's a funny thing. Am I still too young? Because the violin there, she took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows she'd have taken in a finger. All night. She wants a young American.
Got to get the Young Americans in there, Kyle.
Yeah, crank it.
Okay, follow us at Rock Solid Show. Follow Kyle at Kyle Dotson Funny. Follow me at Pat_Francis. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com to read the show notes written by Andrew Rich. I don't know who's going to do the artwork for this episode yet, but I know that...
But it looks great.
But I know... Well, Glenn K. Amo said that he really wants the chance to redo Murray and redo... He's the guy that does the caricature ones.
Oh, cool.
He doesn't feel like he did you justice or Murray justice. So I'm going to ask him probably to do this one so that he can have another crack at...
Can I also just go ahead and go on record and say that can we call the next episode after the iTunes playlist I already have made for myself, Sexual Harassment?
So instead of Let's Get Horny, we'll call it Sexual Harassment.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Is that okay? Or yeah, okay. Sexual Healing?
Whichever one
something
you want.
Something with sexual, because that just makes me laugh every time.
Sexual gratification.
Yeah.
maybe the listeners can...
Maybe the listeners tell us what you want us to call it. One of those three with sexual.
Yeah.
Come up with your own.
Come up with your own that we won't use.
Yeah. Don't tell us what
I'm
to
do. I'm just saying I'm already ready. I already have an iTunes playlist with like 100 songs that have sax solos.
I'm not, but it could be any horn, too. It could be trumpet.
It could be any horn, but I favor the sax.
Usually sax.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna
name a song with a trumpet solo.
I don't know,
name
some
it.
Chicago taps. Song probably.
Yeah, taps or like Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company
well,
B.
Well,
that's
something. The second time we've said that today, okay. So maybe.
All right,
I'm gonna play us out with another Queen song from A Night at the Opera. This is just such an evil killer song. Our producers today were Tony Visconti and Roy Thomas Baker, and we have Kyle, whatever he does. He's a producer. This is called Death on Two Legs. Thank you, April.
Yes. With your big-headed rules, your narrow-minded cronies who are booze of the first division. Death on two legs. You're tearing me apart. Death on two legs.
can kiss my ass goodbye.
Feel good. Are you satisfied?